Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen and amen. Praise God. Now, there's all kinds of things that are getting ready to happen around here. Revival being the most important thing of all. Amen. But tonight, amen, I know we've got Fifth Sunday here today, and tonight we're going to come, and we're just going to gather together around 5:30, I believe, and prepare back there in the back for fellowship. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. You need to come. Just because that we're not having church doesn't mean that this is a night for you to slip out or to stay out and stay home, whatever. No, you need to be here. Amen. It's important to be around the fellowship of the body. Amen. To laugh, to cut up, to enjoy, amen, one another. It's important. It is important. So we want you to come and to be here. Tonight we are going to present a fundraiser that we are going to be starting. And then I am going to also be presenting I don't even know what I'm calling it, but an outreach incentive that's going to go with that and be included in that. And so we're gearing up for all of that. Looking forward to that here tonight. Praise God. Heard good things about Wednesday night. Amen. Praise God. That's what it's all about. Amen. We enjoyed camp meeting this past week. And I went over to Racine, Missouri to be with my good friend, Brother Epley. Brother Epley, I think he knows everybody in Pentecost. Everybody. And then he treats everybody like his best friend. And so we went over there, enjoyed it. We really, really enjoyed it. Enjoyed our time there and came home totally exhausted. But here we are this morning. And I'm excited about Jesus today. Praise God. I've got a little... I don't even know what you call it. It's not a, I don't know, it may be a meme. I don't even know the definition of a meme. I don't know what's a meme or what's not. We just call them pictures, you know. But I got a little picture with some words on it on my phone. And it shows, it's a picture of the drawing of a face. And the first picture, the first part of the picture is an eye, the human eye. And it is extremely elaborate. It's got the eyebrow, it's got the shading over, it's got the veins in the eye and the iris and the pupil and stuff, and I mean it is immaculate, phenomenal. And then the rest of the picture is just this circle drawn. It's not even a full circle, it's just kind of squiggly line circle with a little eyeball drawn, a little cartoon character nose and a mouth with some teeth in it and stuff, and just, and it says, starting to prepare a sermon and running out of time. It's the story of my life. And that's the way I felt this morning. God began to move upon me about this. And so I have the beginning and the plan of it all and stuff. Just don't know how it's all going to come together. But God is so good to us. Genesis chapter number 3. Just reading one verse of scripture. Verse number 8. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Amen. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And that's all I'm going to read. That's what I want to focus upon here this morning. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And I simply want to preach for a little while here this morning about God's desire for you. Praise God. God's desire for you. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. Father, we love you and appreciate you. We thank you, Jesus.
Oh, God, I love you.
Hallelujah. Come on, I think we can do better than that. Hallelujah. Let's lift our voice and thank the Lord today. Hallelujah, Jesus, we worship you and honor you. We praise you and magnify you. Thank you, God, for your word. That word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path and explaining unto us and enlightening us to the mind of God. I pray, Jesus, that you would take that light and turn it on here this morning. Give us illumination, Lord, today. Help us, O Lord Jesus, as we praise you and magnify you. and give you glory in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Praise God. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Amen. Praise God. If you notice, there are many, many times in my messages, Genesis, I probably have more messages that start out of the book of Genesis than anything. And a lot of times I may take a text somewhere else but I'm going to allude and go back to the book of Genesis. And the reason is that Genesis is the book of beginnings. It is the book of beginnings. And it seems to be and has been called the seed plot of the entire Bible. Because all of the vast forest of scriptures and doctrines really start in Genesis as simple seedlings. You can find baptism in the book of Genesis very, very easily. You can find baptism. You can find baptism in the book of Genesis multiple times. And you can find it even there in chapter number 1. And you find repentance in Genesis. And you find the Spirit of God in Genesis. And you find humanity, and not just humanity, but you find all of the earth responding to the Spirit of God in the book of Genesis. And then you find inhabitation. You find habitation in the book of Genesis. You find the plan of God in the book of Genesis and the plan of habitation. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden, and he put the man and the woman there to inhabit it. And he gave us the principle of habitation and established his desires towards humanity. But we don't have to go very far in the book of Genesis. As a matter of fact, it's the first chapter and it's the first verse. And the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So from the very beginning, we see that God sweeps aside atheism by asserting his existence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God does away with polytheism by declaring himself to be the one, God. He did it all by himself, and even in the book of Colossians, it tells us that he did it for himself. All things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And God done away with pantheism by separating himself from matter. It is in the first chapter of the Bible that we see and know that is the most God-centered chapter in the entire Bible. God is mentioned 32 times in 31 verses. And when you add the personal pronouns to that, you would see that God is mentioned no less than 43 times in one chapter. And so this chapter gets us into the presence of God, and it keeps us in the presence of God for the remainder of the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible can you take the principle of God, the Spirit of God, the plan of God out of any part of the Bible from thereafter and still have a Bible left when it's all said and done. Amen. God established in the beginning. In the beginning, he was. Amen. John even established that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Praise God. And we know that the Word was made flesh and tabernacled amongst us. Amen. He became the tabernacle in the wilderness in the New Testament, even before Calvary. He became that. We know that he was the sacrifice, and he was the high priest as well. Praise God. And so we see that this infinite individual, this infinite spirit that has no beginning and no end, that is eternal in all things, that was the first and is the last. He that which was and is to come, the Almighty. We understand that the entire Word of God deals with God, and then secondly, it deals with His plan for humanity. We understand that there was creation, that in the beginning in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form. We know that it was void and full of darkness. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. The waters, and we see that confusion began to be dispelled, and things began to respond correctly to the Spirit of God as God moved upon him. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. There was no moon. There was no sun. There were no stars at the time, but there was light. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Have the scientists figure that one out. Amen. Tell the scientists to create light without a moon. Amen. Without a sun, without stars, without all of the things God did with nothing. God just began to speak. In Hebrews chapter number 11 tells us that by faith that God framed this world by His spoken words. Praise God. And with that, He created the earth. And He calls there to be a division between the land and the waters. And He calls there to be a division between the night and the day. And He established the cattle and all the creeping things upon the face of the earth. And He established the birds that would inhabit and take their flight into the skies and such. And He established the fish and the whales and all of those beings within the water, within the oceans. And once He had established all of that, and you begin to think about this, and I evangelized for some around 4 years and 10 months by the time you put in my second tour of duty. But I evangelized, and I saw so many things, and I began to look back upon that, and I think to myself, you know, first of all, how blessed that I was to be able to see these things. And it was a sacrifice, but to be able to see the creation that God created was just about payment enough. But we saw so many good things that happened. But you throw it out there, and you say the Columbia River, and there's a lot of people that didn't even know there was a Columbia River in the United States of America. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful when you cross over and you're going into Washington from Idaho, and it's gorgeous. And of course we saw the Mississippi River, and we saw the Ohio River, and we saw the canyons and the gorges. We saw the Lewis and Clark Trail. We saw mountains that are snow-capped, and not just snow-capped, but are glacial. We saw Mount St. Helens, and even saw Mount St. Helens smoking. And we traveled along the coastline of California and such, and beautiful. We saw the Grand Canyon and everything in between, and from north to south, south to east, or east to west, and never got over on the Atlantic Ocean during our evangelistic trails, but nevertheless, we saw so many. And that is just a minute portion when it comes to this entire world. I have a desire, and this is crazy for me because I love the United States of America. I don't care to go anywhere. I've been invited to preach in Canada, didn't go. I was invited to preach in Mexico, I didn't go. And I just didn't feel like it was right. It wasn't like I was just turning it all down. I just didn't go. And I like where I live, and I like staying here. But I have a desire. I want to see the Swiss Alps. I want to go and I want to see the Swiss Alps and stuff. But you know, there is, I believe it's Lake Victoria over in Africa, and Zimbabwe. You have the falls and the lakes that's there, and the greenery that's there, and one of the most lush places upon the face of the earth. When you begin to get a topographical map of the earth and you begin to just kind of peruse it, you will see that right there in Zimbabwe area of Africa, you would see that it is one of the greenest places upon the face of the earth. And so I'd like to go see some of those things. But what I have seen is just a very, very small drop in the bucket compared to the vast enormousness of just simply the earth. And man is still trying to figure out how to zoom into other galaxies that God created, trying to find the other planets that are out there. And then the Bible just kind of throws in there and says, and he made the stars also. Made the star. Oh yeah. And he made the stars also, and he put them in their place and hung them there. And some people say that he just took the stars in his hands and just kind of threw them into vast openness. I don't know. I understand that that all the stars have a name, and he took, and in my opinion, he just kind of took the stars and just placed it there and just placed it there and just placed it there. So I don't know how he did it, but the mind of God had a plan for it all. And when the plan was completed, there was yet one thing that was not complete. And so God stooped down upon the ground. From his throne, he was able to say, let there be light, and there was light. From his throne, he was able to say, and let there be this and that, and the cattle and the trees and all this. But when it came to humanity, he stood up, and the Bible teaches us that he picked up the dust of the ground. Amen. In other words, he humbled himself and he lowered himself and he reached down and he got his hands dirty as he put his fingers into the dirt of the ground. And the Bible said that he formed man out of the dust of the ground. It would have been so easy to say, let there be a man, and there was. But the meticulous fingerprints of God, amen, are in our features. Everything about us, things that even doctors and biologists and other scientists don't even understand when it comes to the anatomy of the body. But yet God designed us. He formed man out of the dust of the ground. And then he breathed into that man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Praise God. Amen. And then in chapter number 2 of Genesis, the Bible said that every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. He's talking about the entire earth. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And so God installed a sprinkler system, amen, in the earth. And every morning that sprinkler system would pop up, and the mist of the ground, amen, would be there. There was no rain that came and filled up the oceans, the rivers, the streams, the tributaries, or anything like that. Amen. There was just the hand of God upon his creation. And the mist would water the ground. There was no man there to till it. There was nothing, no human there to be able to take care of the ground. And the Bible said that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Now, here's where I want to go here this morning. The Bible said, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there put he the man whom he had formed. Amen. I've seen a lot of gorgeous things, beautiful things, but that wasn't good enough for God's creation, for man. Amen. In all of the vastness of all of this earth, amen, the Zimbabwes, the Grand Canyons, amen, the Swiss Alps, and all of those other things that are out there, amen, God just kind of shook his head, and he said, no, I've got a special place that I want to put man in. And the Bible said that God planted a garden. God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There was a specific place, amen, that God wanted it to be. And when God got to that place, he planted a garden, amen. I've seen some immaculate gardens, and Sister Boney, and they'll be coming sometime, hopefully in September, such. But Brother Boney has an immaculate garden out there, and all the times. But Sister Boney has a flower garden, and she has trails, and it's almost her entire backyard. and she's got trees that are out there, and she's got the grasses that grow and the different flowers that are there and the vases that are there and the trails and the stones that goes in between everything, and the ducks come in and they form their little nest and they lay their eggs there, and the frogs are there, and every day she is there, and she's out there and she's watering her flowers and such, and she's picking the weeds out of it, and she's doing this and she's doing that, and every day she is out there taking care of it. It's beautiful because that she takes care of it. And the Bible says that God planted a garden, amen, in Eden. He could have spoke that garden into existence, but he planted a garden. He may have already had it and just planted it in Eden, but nevertheless, there was a special place that was placed there for the man. Amen. And God took the man and just put him right there in the Garden of Eden, and he said, "You take care of it." Long story short, amen, he took the woman and he placed her in the Garden of Eden. He could have put them anywhere in the world, and you think to yourself, if I had anywhere in the world, where would I want to live? Amen. God said, there isn't a place on this earth that's good enough for my man and my woman to be. I'm going to create a special place for them. And he took the man and the woman and he put them in a special place for them. Lake Victoria of Africa wasn't good enough. He put them in a special place for them, and he stepped back and he had told them to take care of it. And then we come to chapter number 3, and we know that there is sin that is involved. But I want to establish the principle that is here, that in the cool of the day, that God comes down into that special place to commune with his creation. Amen. God comes down into that garden, the Spirit of God hovering in that place, coming down into that garden that God had created for mankind, and begins to cry out unto Adam and Eve, just as he had done aforetime, and talking and communicating with them. God created that place for them. In that special place, there was one thing that they could not do, and they were not allowed to partake of the tree of the knowledge of the good, of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of that, you shall surely die. Amen. I want you to know it was that one rule, amen, that kept the order of the Garden of Eden. Amen. For throughout all of time, throughout all of eternity, throughout all of the ages and the generations, I want you to take humanity and I want you to place it in any generation that you so desire. I want you to place humanity in any area that you so desire. And I want you to take every rule out. I want you to take every law out. I want you to take every obligation out. And I want you to allow humanity to dwell there. And I want you to think what humanity has done to that situation. I don't care where it is. Humanity has defiled every situation imaginable. And the governments have stepped in. Amen. Even here in the United States. And they call it Section 8 housing. And they have built apartment complexes that some of us wish that our houses were as nice as those houses. And brand spanking new apartment complexes with nice new carpet and nice new walls and paint and the smell of newness there. And they take these, I'm not being racial, I'm not being necessarily profiling it, I'm just speaking reality. And they take the low income people and they put them into these places. Amen. I just want to state here tonight that many of them, I didn't say all of them, don't put words in my mouth, many of them are low income because that's what they desire to be. They have no initiative to make anything out of their lives. lives. They have no initiative to go get a job and to work 40 hours a week. They have no initiative to do anything. They want to live on welfare. They want to live on government assistance. They want somebody to provide everything for them. Amen. Many of them are on social media, amen, asking for somebody to help them, amen, while they take their money and they spend it on different drugs and different toys. And you can go and you can see in some of these areas, amen, that they may drive Cadillacs and they may drive large SUVs, amen, but they're paying an extremely low price to live in this certain area. And it doesn't take long before the spirit of mankind begins to destroy that paradise that they feel like they were owed, amen, unto themselves. And all of a sudden you see as the deterioration of the building begins to falter. And even in time, you will see that some of these areas, the people have ripped the light fixtures out of the ceiling and sold them for money. And instead of taking baths and bathtubs, amen, they've got all kinds of stuff piled up in these bathtubs. Bathtubs become storages, and trash is strewn about. One place I read about in New York, the individual said that this was a very nice area, but then when the slums began to come in and it was made into this type of housing, he said that you would throw their garbage out the windows and it would land in the streets and in the yards. He said it's not a place that you want to go. It's not even a place that the policemen want to go, because that's the way that a man is. The Bible said in the book of Job that man that is born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. That man has a way of getting himself into trouble, has a way of opening his mouth before he begins to think, making decisions before he thinks about the reality and the outcome of those decisions. Just appeasing himself, doing what he wants to do. All the while there is a God that is looking at Adam and Eve and saying, hey, I've created not just a beautiful place, but I've created a paradise for you. A place that I want to come down and dwell with you. I want to give unto you. I want you to be my people. And I want to be your God. I want to supply your every need. I want to bless you. I want you to be the head and not the tail. I want to bless your comings and your goings. I want to bless when you come in and when you go out. I want to bless your children. I want to bless your family. I want to bless everything that is about the love of God is shed abroad upon humanity. That is the plan and the desire that God would have for us. But there is this thing called sin that comes in and disrupts the will of God, disrupts the plan of God, because you hear me today, the devil doesn't want you to have the best. The devil doesn't want the favor of God upon your life. The devil doesn't want the favor of God upon your family. The devil doesn't want the favor of God upon everything that you touch and everything that you do. There is an opposing enemy that has come to do nothing but to seek, amen, to destroy, amen, to kill, to steal, and to destroy everything that he can get his hand upon. He's got a bent sense of humor. He's got a bent sense, amen, of knowledge in order to destroy the most subtle beast of the field, called and likened unto a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil knows what God wants for you. The devil knows the plan of God in your life, and he takes no desire in that. Why? Because he can't have any of that, and he's going to do what he can to destroy you. Amen. But you've got a God that is still reaching, that is still calling and saying, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's love the Lord here today. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You be seated. There was a desire that was in God to communicate with the Lord. And there is not a person under the sound of my voice today, amen, that would say, I hate communicating with God. I hate talking with Him. I hate Him talking with me. I hate dealing with Him. I hate feeling His love. I hate feeling His mercy. I hate feeling His grace. I wish He would just leave me alone and never bother me again. Nobody would say that. Why? Because in His presence, His fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. And there may be some times that the grace of God begins to deal with you and begins to lead you, and you may feel the friction of it because you may be stuck in your ways, and you may have a desire for the things of this world, but nevertheless the grace of God is still calling mankind. I want you to know today that if God was done with you, He had never talked to you. If God was done with you, He would never deal with you. If God was done with you, He would never move upon you. But because that God loves humanity, and because of all of this, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. There is a passion. There is a desire. Amen. There is something about God's creation that He wants to bless and to help us. That's why there's got to be laws. That's why there's got to be rules and regulations. Because all we have to do is step outside of this church. And all we have to do is go with just a few blocks and expand out to a mile, to 2 miles, to 10 miles, to 20 miles. And we will find church after church after church that has lost their identification. I'm not just saying Pentecostal either. We can talk about a lot of them that presume and to be some type of religious entity. But friend, there's nothing really about them that even resembles a church. They got great motivational speakers. They got a lot of hype. They got a lot of things that'll make you feel good. But when you walk out, you still feel empty. Appeasing the flesh. The flashing lights, the smoke machines, the things. Amen. Why do they have to do that? It's because the presence of God isn't there. That's why. And this morning as I begin to pray, I begin to go back. It's redundant, but I begin to go back and I tell God every time, I still mean this, God. But it is so important, God, that you be here amongst us today. God, we need you to show up. If you don't show up, I'm not interested in even being here. And God, I want to do what I've got to do in order for you to come. I want to welcome you. I want you to come. I want you to inhabit this place. I want you to tabernacle in this place. I want this to be the house of God. I want this to be a place that the Spirit of God comes and dwells. I want people to be able to walk into this church and feel there's a difference. I want them to feel the Spirit of God. I want them to come in and think to themselves, my God, what is this? Amen. You know what it is? It's the presence of the Almighty God. I thought that I knew what the presence of God was, but there's such a heaviness. There's such a holiness. There's such a purity of the Spirit. As people begin to come in and they begin to weep and they don't even know why that they're weeping. Feel chill bumps running up and down their back and don't even understand why. But it's God. It's the Spirit of God that's coming in and moving, hovering, brooding over His people. But not only that, it's a people that are lifting their hands up and rejoicing and saying, God, I know I'm not perfect, but thank you so much for loving me. Thank you, God, for never giving up on me. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. It is the desire of God for us. Praise God. But you know what happens? Is they take laws out. They take rules out. Now that's what they call it all. They call it laws. They call it rules. They call it bondage. They call it all kinds of things. I pray that we never come to that place. That we call it laws and rules. But rather it's my dedication unto the Lord. And you know, there are some things in the Bible. But you go look at the children of Israel. And you see that first of all, that God wanted to help them. And I could preach a long time. That's the problem with having no notes. No beginning, no ending. Sometimes it's a beginning, but definitely no ending. Just kind of a dot, dot, dot. To be continued. So, but we see that God said, don't eat of this one tree. And they did. And God had to put them out of the place that he had designed and prepared for them, because sin separates you from the presence of God. It does. Sin separates you. But God made a way for them to come back, not into the Garden of Eden, because the tree of life was in there. And if they partook of the tree of life in their fallen condition, they would live forever in their fallen condition. And so God put them out. But he made a way that they could come back to him through sacrifice and through repentance. And they sacrificed. And we know that, you know, Cain killed Abel. And we could talk about that. But I want to skip ahead of all of that. I want to go to Israel. And God had a plan for the Israelites. You've got the 12 tribes of Jacob and 12 tribes of Israel that are there. And God had a plan for them. Meticulously, God had a plan for them. And God designed the plan through Joseph, through dreams. And he had the 7 years, the fatted cattle and the skinny cattle, 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine and stuff. And he had, you know, his brothers bowing down in obeisance to him. They got mad. They sold him into Egypt. It was the plan of God. God working it all out. God putting things together. Positioning. I've been stuck on that here for a while. Positioning his will to come to pass. Positioning. I want to be pliable to the positioning of God. God positioning me, positioning us to his perfect plan. And so God positioned Joseph that when the time came that he brought his brethren unto him. And his brethren went to Jacob and they said, we don't know where to go. And God said, send them to Egypt. And God, well, go to Egypt and look. God just led him. God helped him. And God provided a place. Now, this place wasn't called Eden, but this place was called Goshen. All right? Goshen. But do some studying on Goshen. Goshen was lush. It was green. About 900 square miles of beauty. 900 square miles of just awesomeness. And here's 12 tribes with their few children and their wives and stuff. And God picks them up and he plants them in Goshen. Adam and Eve were planted in Eden. Children of Israel were planted in Goshen. Goshen is a little bit different because Goshen wasn't where God wanted them to live forever. But they got so comfortable living there that they just decided to stay there. And they became overrun. Now, the unique thing about this is that there's about 3 million Israelites. And there's not that many Egyptians. But yet the Egyptians ruled over the Israelites. They were the tail and not the head. And there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And he put him under hard bondage and slavery. And that beautiful, beautiful place became a ghetto. Because now you have 3 million Israelites living in about 900 square miles, which comes to equate to about 10,000 people per square mile. So there was garbage and refuse and there was all kinds of things and everything and stuff. And there was heavy bondage, which means that they were beat down. And when you're beat down and you live in a condition like that, you're not exactly healthy. And so they cried out for deliver and God said, all right, I'm going to deliver you. And Goshen, I prepared for you and it was a great place, but it wasn't the place. I got a place flowing with milk and honey that I'd like to take and plant you in. And so they walked out. And in one night, God took 3 million Israelites out of Egypt. And it took him 40 years to take Egypt out of 3 million Israelites. That's humanity. That's kicking against the pricks. That's balking against the will of God. They could have made it to the Canaan land, to the promised land within a few days. And they got there. And they said, oh yeah, this is Eden. This is Eden. This is a land that flows with milk and honey. And God said, yeah, that's exactly where I want you to be. And they said, but we can't do this. The will of humanity got in the way of things. And God took them and he put them in the wilderness and he caused them to wander around. And yes, he provided for them. And yes, there was miraculous things that happened there. But friend, it was not the plan and the will of God. It was not the desire of God for them to dwell in a wilderness for that long. What about that land called Sodom and Gomorrah? A place where Lot and Abraham stood side by side. And Abraham told Lot, he said, choose whichever way that you want to go. And Lot looked unto the well-watered plains of Sodom. And he likened it unto the garden of God. He likened it unto the garden of God. And so he went to the well-watered plains of Sodom. And we know what happened there. That humanity defiled the well-watered plains of God. The bent mentalities that they had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. To the place that Abraham prayed and said, just get them out. And God sent the angels in to pull Lot and his daughters and even his wife out of there. And they came out of the land of Sodom. In a matter of minutes, they were out of Sodom. And on their way to a land. And God got them out in no time. But he was never able to get Sodom out of them. It's just God is saying, I've got a land prepared for you. I've got a place prepared for you. I've got a will for you. And don't you understand that your best is my desires. That there may be some hardships and there may be some hard times. Amen. But it is in your will. It is in your interest. The things that I have planned for you. I could talk about the tabernacle that was in the wilderness. Amen. And it was prepared for a specific time. But after a while, that went away. And we could talk about the temple. We could talk about these places. But through it all, amen, when we come to the New Testament, the Lord began to speak. And he said, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath been revealed unto you. But my Father which is in heaven, amen. And I say unto you that upon this rock, I'm going to build another place. I'm going to prepare another place, and it's going to be a beautiful place. It's going to be a free place. It's going to be a lush place. It's going to be a place that families can come into and thrive. It's going to be a place that families don't have to be whipped by sin and beaten down by sin. I'm going to prepare a place called the church, and the devil's not going to be able to destroy it. The devil's not going to be able to get in, amen, and to defile it and to mess it up. Humanity can, and humanity takes out the laws, and the church loses its identification. But understand, the real church is still standing. The real church still represents something. And God said, right here, I want to place every drug addict in the city of Augusta. I want them to come to the church, and I want them to find rest for their souls. I want every alcoholic in Butler County to have a place to come to and to find rest for their soul, to find reprieve for their families, to find unity in the spirit. And I'm going to call it the church. Thank God for the church, for a place that you've been able to come to, that you not having anything, amen, but you came unto God, you repented of your sins, and God forgave you of your sins, and he's blessed you and helped you throughout all of it. Let's give the Lord praise today. Yeah, you weren't worthy of anything. You didn't have, amen. Jesus, help us today. Amen. You didn't have to fill out an application to see if you could get residency in the church. You know why? Because you didn't have enough money to buy in to the church. The church is so glorious. The church is so wonderful. The church is so beautiful in all of its ways. And your rags and your riches, you didn't qualify, amen, to move into the church. Amen. But a man by the name of Christ Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, stepped down through the womb of a woman and robed himself in humanity. Amen. And he paid the price so that you could join in the church. He put down, amen, the bill. He put down the money, the earnest money. He put down the payday, amen, the payment down so that you could get into the church. All you got to do is come. All you got to do is cry out to him. He said, whosoever will, let him drink of this water. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you need to be super thankful, amen, about your ability to be able to come into the house of God. You didn't have two nickels to rub together, but God loved you. You didn't have a last name that was worthy, but God loved you. Amen. You failed him many times, but God loved you. And where other people were ready to give up on you, God never gave up on you. God kept pulling. God kept drawing. And you may have said, I'm not worthy, but God said, this is my church. It isn't your church. It's my church. And I want you to be a part of my church. Woo. Hallelujah. 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 Some, it's just an ugly tabernacle in the wilderness, but they ain't seen the inside of it. I'm not talking about our walls. I'm not talking about our wainscot. I'm not talking about our stained pillars. I'm not talking about our padded pews. I'm talking about the beauty of the church. The beauty of the church. Amen. For God, ooh, God beautifies the meek with salvation. Beautifies the meek with salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, you were painting yourself up out there in the world. Amen. And even though you may not have been applying makeup to your face, amen, yet you had a facade over you. Amen. You had a mask of happiness over you. I'm happy, I'm happy. Amen. But down on the inside, you were broken. You laid in your bed at night wondering, what do I got to do? The thought of being lost terrified you. And you were there. And you had anxiety and you had depression and you had all of these things, and you said, God, this is all that I've got. And God said, let me take your depression, let me take your anxiety, let me take your non-understanding, and let me give you life everlasting. Let's stand this morning. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, it's the church. It's the church. It's the church. It's just like Goshen for a little while, Brother Wirths. It's a beautiful place, but this isn't the end. There's another place. Be like the land flowing with milk and honey. It's not the end. There's another place. And it's a place that he said, if I go away, I'm going to come back to receive you unto myself. Why? Because that's what God wants. God wants to communicate with you. God wants to talk with you. God wants to bless you. God wants to help you. It's just this carnal nature. It's just this humanity that gets out of shape and bent out of shape with God. But God said, I'm going. And I'm preparing another Eden. I'm preparing another Goshen. I'm preparing another land flowing with milk and honey. I'm preparing another type of the church. I'm preparing, but we're not going to call it any of that. It's a place that you're going to be forever, to live forever. I'm not worthy of that. I've already paid the price for everything. It's called heaven. I'm going to pave the streets with gold. I'm going to put 12 foundations, stone, exotic stone in it. I'm going to put gates of pearl in it. I'm going to do these things. Some people say that he's going to prepare a mansion for every one of us. I'm ready. Some people say you are the mansion. Let it be. I just want to go. 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 And he said something about a crown. I'm not worthy of a crown. Born into a no-name family. My dad's not a preacher. My mom wasn't in the ministry any type. I'm not worthy of a crown. No royalty in that. And he said, oh, no. I put my blood into you. I washed you with my blood. My blood atoned for you. I've adopted you into my family. You're in my family now. It's a place that one day he's going to step through the eastern skies. And he's going to call us all to attention. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with him. And you know what he said about that? He said, turn around and tell your neighbor, comfort one another with these words. Brother Hunter, it's going to be okay. You've come through a lot. You've went through a lot. You'll go through a lot yet still. But it's going to be worth it. It's all going to be worth it. It'll all be worth it. Some of you, I can point to you and I can say, hey, the devil tried to destroy you, but it's going to be worth it. Brother Josh, the devil thought that he had won, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Brother Keith, it's been many, many years, but it's going to be worth it. Don't lose hope now. Others here today, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. This is what God desires for everybody. Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he told them, he said, invite them all to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And they came back with nobody. And he said, why didn't they come? He said, well, they said they married wives. They said they bought land, need to go see it. They said bought some oxen, need to go try them out and stuff. He said, then go into the highways and to the byways. Well, this is a little special place. This is a little uppity. He said, go into the highways and the byways and compel them all. That's the desire of God for you. You don't have to be somebody. You don't have to be anybody. You can be a nobody. God's got a plan for you. God's got a desire for you. And it's in his presence for now until we get to heaven, and then it's for eternity. Hallelujah. And what did he say? He said, come. Come. And so I open up these altars here this morning. I'm saying it again. Come. Come find your place at the table. Put your feet under the table and say, God, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of God all the days of my life. Hallelujah. Come on. Come make your petition. Come make your commitment. Come give yourself unto the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't have to be worthy. Amen. He didn't give it. Amen. I said, you can't afford the down payment. You can't afford, you're not worthy. You've made too many stakes for the application. Amen. He's not interested in that. He's already taken care of it all. And now he just simply says, come unto me all ye who are weary and heavy laden. And I'm going to give you rest. This is the rest which the weary rest. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's just take some time and talk to the Lord today.